This is Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA.
And that is at the heart of my transit plan, to increase those fees to discourage driving and use that money to help maintain roads better and pay for transit. With the numbers I've worked out, if we increase parking rates from an average of $3.12 an hour to about $9 an hour, and include some in-station retail and vending machines, we can cover about 75% of all transit fares and get rides down to about a dollar a piece instead of the current $3.50.
That is mayoral candidate Brandon Bay at the latest debate. And we are into a meaty debate here on our show again today. I welcome your voice, your thoughts anytime. 580-580, go ahead, text into the show. Parking prices in downtown Ottawa. That is the latest hot topic in the municipal election. Let me ask you, should we increase parking rates downtown to encourage people to use transit? 580-580. You know, I come to this with the perspective of somebody who regularly takes transit. I take transit in every day, the bus to the LRT. And then occasionally, like today, because I'm not going home until after 9 p.m. at night, drove down. And it is true, as I said to you at the outset, I'm a perfect example as somebody who doesn't drive because it is expensive and I take transit. But do you support this? And would this work for you? Two candidates running for mayor of Ottawa are proposing increasing parking rates to discourage people from driving. And the one candidate, Brandon Bay, who is going to join us right now, had floated, as you heard, a parking rate of $9 an hour so that people actually get out of their cars and get onto LRT or onto OC Transpo buses. Brandon Bay is on the line right now. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Christy.
First of all, this is your first time on the show, so I want to do a bit of a get to know you, if you will. Tell
sure,
us a bit
absolutely.
About yourself and why you're running.
So I'm a software developer currently. I'm working at a little Invest Ottawa startup called Wellbe. We're a scrappy little company that's a socially focused enterprise working to make the lives of seniors better, living in retirement and long-term care facilities. And, you know, that's not a very political job at all. So it is a bit of a change here for me. But I'm running to really make sure that, you know, the next council's priorities are the right priorities and that we're focused on moving the city forward and solving the climate crisis and the housing affordability and affordable housing crises and all of the many issues we've seen in recent years. And I'm here to make sure that, you know, whoever wins, whether that's me, whether that's another candidate, that they've made their views clear on all of these topics and the public's well informed and get somebody that's, you know, gonna make the right changes for them.
14 people that are running in a field of candidates. What do you believe sets you apart?
I spoke a lot last night about how my technical background is a particular differentiator for me and an asset. You know, I've got a big belief in using facts and data to back up decision making and policy, and I would like to see City Hall be a lot more transparent with all of that information to the people. We've seen, you know, a very disparate push towards that over the years, and it doesn't seem like City Hall is well organized in doing that as a overall policy, and I'd like to see that changed.
Transit has been a very hot topic the entire municipal election campaign. First it was, should we make it free? And now we're talking about parking fees. And you know, people get really lit up about this. So let's get into it. Last night you said, we got to do this, not the congestion fee like they do in London, where they charge something like $19 a car if you want to drive downtown. You said you didn't see that as being realistic. But you did say we should jack up the parking fees downtown to encourage people to get on the bus or the train. Make the case for our listeners. Why should drivers pay more to drive downtown?
So, you know, the city's invested billions of dollars into this new light rail system, and it's going to be a massive burden on all of the taxpayers if we just let it continue to sit unused. And, you know, with remote work here to stay, thanks to the pandemic, ridership has dropped significantly. People aren't commuting as much anymore, and the price of transit just keeps going up and up, and it's getting further out of reach. And so, you know, we've all already invested so much in this, it would be in our best interest to use it. Not just financially, but also, you know, if people are using transit, then congestion and commute times go down for people that are driving and emissions go down and air quality goes up for everyone. And it's just, it's something that we've said we want to work towards. And this is a policy that can help us move in that direction. And, you know, just to like compare the numbers a little bit, the city's traffic and road budget right now is about $500 million a year. And last year they pulled about $11 million in parking fees, which is, you know, it's about 2% of the budget, but we're charging transit riders about 20% of the budget to maintain transit. And so it's just about bringing a little more balance towards this and moving towards all of those great benefits of encouraging people to use transit and making it accessible while, you know, encouraging road users to pay for the roads like we expect for so many other city services that we offer.
If it goes up to $9 an hour and I'm downtown for 5 hours, that's $45. That's pretty steep.
It is. And, you know, if we've built transit in a way that, you know, there are great park and rides at all the places that don't have good transit access, so you can leave your car there and take the cheap or free transit in instead and save that $45, you know, now it's one instead. Or if we, you know, offer other options for people that are, you know, tighter, like low income residents or people that live downtown and need this parking all the time, we can offer a permit system that's either much cheaper or free, depending on their circumstances. We can mitigate a lot of the, like, you know, the people who are required to be downtown having to pay this burden and put it on the people that are choosing to drive and stay there. When
okay. What about business? Because you're talking about low income people. Mm-hmm. What about businesses? Like, I just got a text message from somebody who owns an office supply business. They deliver equipment to their clients downtown. They can't do that on the LRT. Would you subsidize it for them?
If they're delivering, like, there's loading zones near most businesses that would be exempt from this fee, you know, and that's why I promote the parking approach instead of a toll or tax approach, because that would be punitive to delivery drivers and to, you know, Ubers and taxis, and, you know, it would discourage carpooling. If you live in Orleans and you work in Canada and a friend who also lives in Orleans works downtown, you're not going to drop them off if it's going to cost you $20 to go into the core. So we don't want to do that. And that's why I'm proposing we use parking, which is something we already have infrastructure for, and which really is just targeting people that are driving downtown when there's another choice to get there and remain there for whatever length of time.
Right. Now, this is true for me. You heard me in the intro. It does discourage people. I'm a perfect example. I take transit every day. I don't want to pay for parking. But Brandon, I live in Carlingwood. So my path to transit is a lot more direct. And it's way easier than somebody who lives in Barrhaven or Kanata or Orleans or even in the south end near Moonies Bay. What about people who live further out and transit, frankly, isn't a good option because it takes too long or the buses don't come? Is it fair to them to make parking $9 an hour when our transit system is unreliable?
I would say you're right. It's not. And this wouldn't be something that we could just flip immediately. You know, we're not going to go straight from $3 to $9 with no further improvements to our transit system, because it's not tenable while driving is the only option. But I think it's a goal that we can work towards that, you know, based on the numbers I've run, will let us reduce transit to at least a dollar, maybe lower. And when we've fixed the transit infrastructure, then we can increase parking rates further and continue to adjust that balance. It doesn't need to be something that happens suddenly. It can happen gradually. And, you know, the approach we've taken to transit so far is that we budget for a significant share of the money to come from fares. And then we don't get the ridership that we expected, and we increase the fares again, and we get less ridership because we've jacked up the fares again. And we're running a deficit on transit every single year, and we can never catch up. And without any money to fix the system, the problem's never going to get any better. And so we need to find another way to fund this. And
so to be clear, Brandon, would you wait to start jacking up the cost until the transit system is built out and people do have better buses, like the bus is coming every 10 minutes and it's coming reliably? Because you'd be waiting a long time.
I wouldn't set the $9 target until at least the stage 2 LRT is completed. And at that point we can see, you know, are the trains reliable? Have we solved the, you know, engineering and architectural problems with the system? Do we have good park and ride lock in place? And if we don't, we can fix those things before we start, you know, increasing the funding of road fees paid to parking. But
yeah, I mean, I don't want to be the crotchety, cranky radio show host here, but I will. I mean, look at stage one. I think the public faith in this is pretty low. And you've got a lot of people texting in right now that are expressing concern this is going to kill downtown business, that they're saying this isn't going to push people onto transit. It's just going to push them out of downtown altogether. They'll stay in their neighborhoods. They'll stay in Barrhaven and they'll go to dinner there. What would you say to that?
I would say that this is something we want. I've been talking a lot about this campaign about complete communities and the benefits that they have on the city as a whole. And we want small businesses to be able to thrive. We want people to stay close to home and have all the amenities they want there. And that allows us to transform downtown into a place where people live instead of a bunch of empty office towers that are still sitting unused, and the buildings that have been built there to the businesses that have come up there to serve the office workers are suffering. And, you know, those commuters aren't coming back. And so we need to transform downtown anyway, if we can also transform all of our communities in this way and, you know, have businesses thriving everywhere because people are choosing to stay in their own communities. I think that's a win.
What about tourism? I mean, from people who live within the province that own vehicles, like they drive up from Kingston or Cornwall.
There are park and ride lots for them. There are options for them to get here other than by driving. There are options for them to, you know, park at a long-term option, like a private parking lot rather than a city-funded space, and take transit around that we've made so very affordable for them. I don't think this discourages tourism at all. And it also, it brings us very in line with parking rates at other major cities that people are not scared from going to, like Toronto and like Montreal. And when I was living in Boston, parking was regularly $20 or $25 an hour. So $9 is not that big an ask for a tourist.
Brandon Bay, we'll have to cap it there. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Brandon Bay, mayoral candidate, joining us on Ottawa Now. We have other candidates that will be joining us, including Noor Qadri, who will come on the show next week. Professor, one of the mayoral hopefuls. Mike McGuire also running. Bernard Couchman. There are 14 people. Param Singh. Gregory Guevara. Céline Desbarsiges. Jacob Solomon. Ade Olumide. Graham McDonald. You're listening to News Talk 580 CFRA. It was the
summer of love. You're listening to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back. Hurricane Ian has left a path of destruction through Florida. It has trapped people in flooded homes. It has knocked out power to over 2 million people. And now it has become a tropical storm, but it is still causing damage. Joining us right now, Mark Robinson, meteorologist and severe weather expert. He's an educator and he's a storm chaser. He's based out of Toronto, but he travels all over the world and across the border, and he's going down to Fort Myers. We've reached him on the line right now. Mark, where are you?
I'm actually in Fort Myers now, right by the water, by one of the marinas. And I can tell you, the drive in for the last half an hour of driving, and that was at 100 kilometers an hour, it was just nothing but just down trees, down power lines, shingles ripped off of roofs, just debris everywhere. The damage that this hurricane has left in the Fort Myers and Cape Coral area is just so extensive.
Mm. What are people saying? Have you had an opportunity to talk to any of the people that live in the Fort Myers community?
I have. A lot of people at this point are just in shock, and they just almost don't know what to do other than just try and begin that cleanup of your property just a little bit to try to put things back together just a little bit. A lot of people, are just sort of seeing their little sliver of the story. And when they sort of take a look around, they, begin to realize how big the destruction actually is.
That's the thing that's so striking to me, that it turned streets into rivers. It pulled down trees. It absolutely pummeled Florida, and it continues to do so. What stands out to you when you look at the size, the magnitude of this storm and the winds?
Well, you know what? I can tell my little sliver of the story because we were actually in Punta Gorda when it came through. So we actually got the eye itself there. And what was kind of amazing to me was the front side of the eye wall, that's the strongest part of the storm, wasn't nearly as strong as the backside. And that's a little unusual. Usually it's the other way around. But the winds, they were tearing, roofs apart, tearing the buildings apart right in front of us. You couldn't even see across the street. There was so... The winds were so strong, and they were just blowing, the rain and spray and everything else. It was one of the most impressive hurricanes I've ever been through. Actually, if not the one, other than maybe Katrina, I've been through 25 now.
How could you even drive into Fort Myers? I'm looking at the picture, the video of your car driving in. Was it just hydroplaning the entire way?
No, actually, that was one spot that there was some flooding. I know exactly what you're talking about. We actually followed a couple other cars, knowing that we could get through there. But once we got sort of beyond that, it's been pretty dry. And now that we've gotten into where the storm surge area, what's interesting, it's all muddy. Everything is dried mud everywhere, so it's very dusty. And that's just from the storm surge dragging all the mud and the basically the ocean bottom and depositing it on land.
What was wild was just the stretch, how much of Florida this has impacted. You know, there are people that are heading down on vacation, and one of our listeners said, I'm scheduled to go to Orlando on Saturday. Can you ask Mark, should we stay put?
You know what? I mean, we were in Orlando. It's probably, you know, it's had some flood damage, but it is getting things back on track. I would definitely, make sure, check your flights, make sure that you can actually get down into Orlando. I know that we can't fly out of Orlando, but we can fly out of Tampa, to give you an idea. So it's kind of hit and miss at this point, but coming into the Fort Myers, Cape Coral, any of the areas, Punta Gorda, just don't even bother. You won't be able to come down here. There's no reason for you to come here because everything that, and if you want to go fishing or, you know, what you usually do on this side of the coast, it's not going to happen.
Mark, thank you so much. Please be safe.
My pleasure.
Mark Robinson, meteorologist and storm chaser based out of Toronto, down in Fort Myers. Coming up to 3:30, your news is next.
You're listening to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA.
It is going to be a big weekend in the Ottawa Police Service, and residents of Sandy Hill are getting ready. The Panda Game, the University of Ottawa GGs and the Carlton Ravens meeting in the 53rd Panda Game Saturday on TD Place on the field. The game is officially sold out. And you know, every year it's always been a really big party weekend, has a bit of a reputation for getting loud. Last year, it got entirely out of hand. It was mayhem. To call it a party is unfair. During the celebrations, police said a car was overturned, people had their properties damaged, and one person was assaulted. Seven people, according to the Ottawa Paramedic Service, were transported to hospital. In the end, eight people were charged with mischief, and two people were charged with taking part in a riot. So you can understand why people are feeling a bit on edge this weekend, and they're concerned that there could be a repeat. The Ottawa Police Service says this is not going to happen again, that they've got a zero-tolerance approach for any disorder, that there will be an increased presence of Ottawa Police members and officers in Sandy Hill. Jan Finley joins us now, board member for Action Sandy Hill. Hi, Jan.
Hello, Christy.
Appreciate you coming on the show. How are you feeling as we head into the Panda Game weekend?
I'm optimistically positive. There has been a huge amount of work gone into working towards making this a weekend that will be good for everybody. So the students can have fun. There's a tailgate party first thing tomorrow morning. There's buses to take them away out of the neighborhood to Lansdowne. And then the restaurants, bars in the Byward Market and along Elgin Street have worked with the university to provide places for the students to go after the game to celebrate.
Was that the issue last year, do you think, Jan, that the students didn't know where to go, so it turned into a street party on Russell? What do you think was the issue?
Russell has been the street party place for the last, I would say, at least four Panda Games. So last year's party was over the top, but it was not unusual in that there have been, in previous years, more than 3,000 students in that one block between Somerset and Templeton. And the students gathered there, they jumping on people's cars, urinating, defecating in people's yards, climbing up on top of roofs. So there have been in the past equally bad behavior on the top of, and I shouldn't just say students, on the top of the people who attended the street party. Last year was over the top with the overturning of the car.
Yeah.
And the assaults. And I'm sure in other years there have probably been assaults, but not reported.
Hmm. I know some of your neighbors, people that live in Sandy Hill, have gone out of their way. They've put in security cameras. Some people are putting up caution tape to mark the boundaries of their property. It's pretty unfortunate.
It really is unfortunate. We live where we live because it's a very diverse neighborhood, and we choose to live here. We understand that students are a part of our community. We respect the fact that they live here. We ask them only to respect the fact that other people live here. Last year, there were actually students who called the police concerned about their own safety because of the behavior of the other people that were outside partying.
Yeah, and that's why I'm so hesitant to even call it a party. That is mayhem. That is assault. That is violence. That is anarchy when you've got thousands of people in the street. People are getting hit in the face, beer bottles flying, a car being flipped. It's just, it's outrageous.
It really is. And I'm really happy myself. I'm really pleased with the effort that all of the parties have put into coming up with solutions. We had the police do door-to-door in our neighborhood for St. Patrick's Day, and that was very, very effective. The police went door-to-door in our neighborhood to tell everybody what their plans were for St. Patrick's Day. And a report that we got after that was that there were actually some students who said, I'm having a party in my residence, and there are people here that I don't know. Can you please come and help me? So I think that those door-to-door visits were very effective. I live next door to what we in the neighborhood call a bunkhouse. And last fall, there were people outside with their phones at 2 o'clock in the morning saying, oh, is this where the party is? Do you know so-and-so? They had no idea who the residents were in the unit that was having the party, but they were lined up. It was during COVID. Maybe it wasn't this fall. It was last fall, and you were only supposed to have 20 people in your house, and they had about 40. And they were unknown people. So the social media brings people from everywhere to these parties. It's not just the people that live in our community. It is also people who live outside the community that come and hear through social media. There's a party going on, and they're in.
Jan Finley, I hope things go better this time around. Thanks for coming on the show.
I'm very confident that things are going to be so much better this year.
Glad to hear it, Jan. Take care.
Thanks, Chrissy. Ciao.
Jan Finley, board member for Action Sandy Hill, 345.
I have a confession to make. These are my confessions. Tell All Thursday on News Talk 580 CFRA. These are my confessions.
Yesterday, I divulged that sometimes Drake and I will have an impromptu, unannounced game of hide-and-seek, where he'll be calling for me in the house, Chris, Chris, and I just won't respond. And then I slink into a corner, and I start creeping around. And then the game is on, even though nobody says we're playing. We'd still do this. This is embarrassing. Matt Scooby joins me.
Not embarrassing. I love it.
Oh, I love it, too, but it is pretty juvenile. It is childish.
So what?
It's playful.
But you need to have things like this in your life.
Your inner child.
Everyone needs to have these things in their life. Are you kidding me? I'm like 6 years old at heart
okay,
in many different ways.
What is textures, please? It's Tell All Thursday. Time to have a little fun. What is the most childish thing you still do? Maybe you have a little cuddle blankie.
Maybe.
Or a stuffed animal. Some people do.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you still let your mother or your father make your dental appointments. Or cut your toenails. I knew somebody once in university. Mom still cut his toenails.
No.
True story.
Stop it.
True story.
My brother still has a blankie. Straight up.
Like a little.
Like it's not a little. Like it's all in rags now. But like if he has to sleep somewhere else, like it comes with him.
No.
Oh yeah. Like full on. It's like in a pillowcase with like.
Are you going to suffer consequences for saying that on air?
Yeah, I might. But.
That's a doozy.
That's a good one.
I lick the spoon. I don't need somebody to say that I can lick the beater.
Oh.
Or eat the raw cookie dough. I just go right for it.
100%.
I lick that spoon.
Yeah, 100%. It's not the egg that's bad for you, right?
Yeah.
It's a flour.
Whatever. What's a bit of diarrhea?
But who cares? Like,
I shouldn't say that. Now people are. I mean, listen. Sorry. I should say because I'm going to get in trouble. Not for saying that word. But don't eat raw egg. I am not a medical expert.
It's the raw flour that's
okay. Really do not have raw cookie dough. I am legally responsible. I need to tell you that. And I'm not encouraging you to do things that are against food, health, and safety. Yes. There we go.
Still do it, though.
Disclosure. Done. Yeah. Okay. So I lick the spoon. Not that you should, but I do.
Yeah.
I also
The beater.
The beater.
What's the spoon?
I don't know. Maybe the spoon's in there, too.
Okay.
Maybe the finger's in there.
Are you a pull juice out of the fridge and take a drink and then put it back?
No, I don't appreciate the backwash in there. Not even mine.
I don't do that either. But
I also, and you know this,
yeah,
I laugh a lot at bathroom humor.
Oh, yeah.
F-A-R-T.
Like, you know what? And it is what it is. And I think I have either a very sophisticated sense of humor where I like things that are multi-layered and it's a bit and it's a play and it's working on different levels, or
straight up bathroom
just
humor.
Straight up bathroom potty humor.
Oh, ditto.
Mr. Hollywood does not find that funny, and it gets me every time. The scene from Austin Powers, the montage of people making the joke about phallic symbols or pee and poo.
I can't not laugh.
And I'm sorry.
I can't not laugh.
I'm sorry. But I
every do. Time. Every time.
And I know it's stupid.
I told you. Like, Austin Powers is one of the most quoted movies between my wife and I. We've had that conversation before.
It's very juvenile. Yeah. And if somebody were to pass gas, I would laugh.
Yeah. Pass gas, PG.
Pass gas, PG.
PG, yeah.
If somebody said, I laugh out loud.
Yeah, 100%.
When somebody farts, I do.
I do that.
And that's who I am.
More of a dad thing.
Right?
Yeah. But like, my wife will be like, I'm hungry. I'll be like, I'm Matt. Nice to meet you. It's like, it's more of like, maybe a little bit more of like a dad joke, like just being annoying.
Yeah.
But that one, like, she's like, she'll be like, don't say it. Don't say it. She says something like this, she knows already. And now I've started with Asher. Right now I've started with the 3-year-old. Different things. Well, I'm dad. Nice to meet you. He still doesn't. He doesn't get it on that level yet. But I think that I'm hilarious. Yeah. I do. I feel like I do other lots of childish things. But
Carolyn says, "Is this Carolyn my sister?" No.
Oh, would be great.
Making pumpkin muffins. Just licked the beater clean. Mm.
There you go.
Ooh, since that was over.
We were just talking about in the newsroom how raisins ruin things. That is a little bit.
I don't
off
mind
topic.
A raisin,
but like raisins in things.
In what?
In muffins. In like,
I could do
in
that. Like a morning glory muffin with all the
in
nuts
cookies, in cookies, like when you think mostly because like you think they're chocolate chips, but then they're raisins, and it's like nah, like raisins on their own, sure, in trail mix, no problem. But when you start baking them into things, it's like
yeah, I don't mind it.
Yeah, no, it's no
I could
good.
Have a raisin here and there.
No, it's no good.
In
it's
a no carrot, cake?
That's like a childish thing. I feel like where it's
is
like
that
kind
a
of
childish?
Like,
thing?
I'm a little bit picky about some of the foods.
Okay,
so,
sorry, I have to share something with you that I was astounded. And you know Drake and his phobia of
jerks. Yes.
So he's the last person who cares about this. But I was reading, I believe it was in Food and Wine magazine from the LCBO, which what a fun little treat to dig into.
They're great.
Right?
They're wonderful.
This is where I am in my life. Yep. Laughing at fart jokes, looking at recipes in Food and Wine magazine. I digress. There was a little snippet, a little tidbit of information about how you could do a fruitcake and keep it for months, 3 months.
Oh, yeah.
And pour brandy on it.
Yes.
Baste it to age it.
Yes.
I have never heard of this
but
in
it's,
my life.
But it's still fruitcake. So.
I know, but I've never, you keep the fruitcake and I guess it's preserved by the brandy?
Yeah. By the
you
boo-
knew this.
By
you
the
knew
booze?
About bathing fruitcake and keeping it for months.
Yes. People have like, there was like, it was like. I think like one of my exes, like moms or aunts or someone has had done this.
Did it for months.
Had kept it for like, had kept like, did it in like in the summer, I think. And like busted it out at like Christmas time.
I'm sorry. I did not know that you could have a mature fruitcake.
Yeah. It changes all the flavors and or something. And
I
it changes,
have strong
like,
feelings
something.
About that.
I don't know.
And I'm pretty ambivalent on
but,
fruitcake.
But it's also, it's.
I'll eat it if it's there. But it's now fruitcake. If I know it's been sitting there for
no,
3 months.
I'm not a big fan of fruitcake.
No,
I like
fine
sweets,
with it,
but I'm just like, eh.
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 Raisins suck, says this texter.
Hey, there you
I
go.
I always feel scammed, and I pick them out, and I flick them off with my finger, especially in butter tarts.
That's a childish thing, right? And that's what I mean, where it's just kind of like, yeah. Oh, and butter tarts, too. Like, do you want to ruin a butter tart? Put raisins in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't like a butter tart.
You don't like butter
okay,
tarts?
Okay, I got a little bit of a dig here from Dan. This made me laugh. Yeah. Christy, you're so sweet. Don't worry about your cookie dough comment. I don't think any of your audience confuses you for responsible.
Well played, Dan. Well played, Dan.
Yeah.
Stuntman Stu.
Dan
move,
the man.
Stuntman Stu, move 100, is listening.
Does he
cake.
Like a mature fruit
fruitcake? Fruitcake is disgusting.
Okay, what about a mature fruit? Now, if I were to bathe
you don't even need to get into this conversation. Okay. It's fruitcake.
Usually, for me, if you throw some alcohol in, it's going to get better.
Yeah.
But in this case, I think it gets worse.
Yeah, no thanks.
What's happening to the world that we're bathing our fruitcake
now,
for 3 months?
Does this mean you were also reading the fruit and like the food and wine for the holidays already?
At it. It was there.
Is it a holiday edition?
No, it's the fall edition.
Fall edition, okay.
It's more fall.
Fruitcake, I feel, is like we're talking Christmas now. Like
I know. Well, because what they were saying is make it now.
Make it now.
And bathe it for 3 months.
Oh.
Let it hang out.
Yeah, that's weird.
Give it a drink every now and then. Gosh, this is going to sprout legs.
Are you going to do this?
No.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely not.
I wasn't sure if this was one of the things you were going
to
try.
You're trying to pin me down again on air.
I know. I'm just trying to be what's happening here?
I see you from a mile away, Mr. Man. Bucko. Trying to add it to the old dandelion list, are you?
Dandelion wine.
I know. I'll never live it down.
Classic.
But I did do the healthy Coke with the vinegar.
Yes,
the vinegar
did.
Is still sitting in the corner there. Yeah. Patricia Bull had some words. Actually, maybe this is good for what do you do that's a bit childish. I am a clean freak. I sweep 3 times a day. We have 2 dogs. I clean all the live long day. I like to have a clean space. But I don't have an office around here, so I keep my kettle on the ground with my instant coffee, and then I have the balsamic vinegar. And Patricia Bull said to me the other day, what is this encampment that's forming? Like, are you tenting here?
Are you
setting up a camp in the corner?
She has an office. Just drop it by her. Drop the balsamic vinegar by her office.
She said, I was going to say something on air. Yeah. I didn't want to offend you. And I said, oh, no. You should have. Yeah. I'm embarrassed.
Please do. Yeah. Lots of good childish ones.
Yeah. Do we have any other ones?
Like watermelon's gross. More food stuff, but any other good ones there?
I put on a Pokemon show the other day, but my kids were outside. It was for me.
It's fantastic.
And by the way, I love raisins everywhere.
I love raisins everywhere.
Wow.
It's good.
What does that mean, everywhere? Where else would they be?
No, like in all sorts. Stop it. Why do you got to go there?
No, I mean,
like
in
all
the
sorts of food, like in things and like by themselves.
Oh, I thought they meant on the go. I wasn't making it anything. Oh. I thought they meant on the go. Mm-hmm. You know, the people who hand them out for Halloween. Mm-hmm.
Very
in the
childish.
Containers?
Who does that?
People do.
Hand out raisins for
they
Halloween?
They sure do.
Come on.
You've never had that?
Maybe
not
like,
even candied raisins.
Maybe
just
like
plain old raisins.
I know, not even chocolate covered raisins, which are delicious, by the way. Yeah.
Oh, so you'll eat them in chocolate?
100%.
That is a little childish.
Clearly. Do you know me?
Okay.